Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the program host, guests, and participants, and not necessarily those of KKRN Community Radio and Acorn Community Enterprises, or the underwriters of this station. From KKRN Community Radio in Round Mountain, California, this is Community Works Radio. I'm Ellen Sugg. Community Works Radio is a locally produced show that focuses on people who work for the common good in their communities, people who join in KKRN's mission of fostering positive social change and healthy communities. We talk about their work for the common good and the underlying issues that motivate them. Today, my guest is Cheryl McKinley. We will be talking with her about her work in the Reading community on Women's History Month and the March for Our Lives. During the first part of the show, we will listen to a speech given by Hillary Crosby, and then we will hear the student speakers at the March for Our Lives event in Reading this past March 24th. First, I would like to introduce Cheryl. Cheryl grew up in the L.A. area, but spent 6 years in rural Nebraska. She graduated from Occidental College in 1974 and moved to the North State in 1976. After getting divorced, she got her teaching credential from Chico State in 1985. She taught 32 years in Reading School District and was active in CTA for 14 years. Now, she's co-chair of the Democratic Women's Club, secretary of the Democratic Central Committee, and on the board for ACLU. Welcome, Cheryl.
Hey, Ellen.
Great to have you here.
Thank you. I should say
a little bit just on the personal note, Cheryl and I work together in CTA, so we've known each other and been working together for quite a while. But today, we're going to start out by talking about the Women's History Forum. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. The Democratic Women's Club of Shasta County sponsored a Women's History Forum a few years ago, and Ellen was one of our featured speakers. And so we did it again this year. We had Hillary Crosby, who came up from El Cerritos, and we also had Missy MacArthur, Linda McRae, Heather Wiley, and Ellen Sugg again. We had hoped to have Callie and Sisk, but she was out of the county. I wasn't able to attend. Hillary Crosby, who was our featured speaker, came all the way up. Like I said, she came all the way up from El Cerritos. She was controller for the California Democratic Party for about 8 years and is currently president for the California Democratic Council. And she did an amazing speech about the history of the women's movement in the last 100 years. So Ellen's going to play that part.
So we all got to this place today in our own ways. We come as the main character in our personal stories. So for me, I came in on the second wave of American feminism. Decades of work by the suffragettes of the 19th century, who were the first wave feminists, culminated in the 19th Amendment, which granted the vote to women over 21. Then second wave feminists, probably a lot of us, pushed back against the image of a woman as a wife, mother, and a domestic goddess. We read The Second Sex and Betty Friedan's The Feminist Mystique. We had consciousness raising, and we demanded access to higher education and equal pay for equal work. So my mother was a forerunner to second wave feminism. She was ambitious, and she modeled achievement. She had polio in the last epidemic of polio in 1954, and they said that she would never walk again, but she actually did, and the next thing she was doing was raising money for Adlai Stevenson, which I helped. I made a big paper mache head with a little fringe of hair, and there was a slot in the top you could put money when you came to my parents' dinner parties. A dollar each.
We should do that.
By the time JFK was inaugurated, my mother was working as a researcher at NBC Television, and she was showing me and my brother and my sister that being ambitious and working for a living was actually very ladylike. And all that ambition had to go somewhere. So for me, and for probably all of us, it went into politics. Stuffing envelopes for JFK, Take Back Red California, protesting the war in Vietnam, all the way up to this afternoon's march that we'll be going to later. So we know that the women's movement has always been a unifying force, building connections among women's rights, civil rights, workers' rights, family, peace, and justice. Nowadays, they call that intersectionality, but it's not a new idea. So it's no surprise that the suffragist movement came from the abolitionist movement, because women really understand that when you sell different people from a family into servitude, that that's something that we feel. And those early feminists who were the mothers of the first wave, they knew that to push back against hunger, poverty, loneliness, frustration, and all that misery, women needed the vote. And so they moved on to the suffragist movement. And then it's not a surprise either that in 1912, in January, the women of the Everett Mill strike in Lowell, Massachusetts, stopped work. Their pay envelopes were short, 32 cents. That was the start of the textile workers' strike. It's called the Bread and Roses Strike. And if you remember the song,
Bread and Roses.
So then it's not a surprise that in 1977, Barbara Smith and Beverly Smith and Demita Frazier, who were writing for the Combahee River Collective, they wrote, "We are actively committed to struggling against racial, sexual, heterosexual, and class oppression, and see that the major systems of oppression are interlocking." And then it's no surprise that the word intersectionality itself came out of third wave feminism, when Kimberly Crenshaw was describing the effects of interlocking oppression of gender, race, and class. And it was this understanding of what we now call intersectionality that expanded the women's movement, which had up until then been predominantly white and middle class, into a multiracial, cross-class force, and now coming into what is a diverse and inclusive movement that we have today. And it's also no surprise that it was lesbians in San Francisco who became the standard bearers for providing care to gay men suffering from a mysterious gay cancer, which we now know is acquired immune deficiency syndrome, and we call it AIDS. And it was those women who saw and understood and articulated that the fear of gay men, racial and class oppression, wasn't just about prejudice, but it was on all sided and it affected all areas of life. And so now that so many of us are out there, we're going to work, we're taking our rightful places in the public sphere as community leaders, employers, political activists, and candidates, that as our activities grow, the objectification of our bodies takes a more invidious turn. It's no longer the wolf whistle and the insistence on skirts and tight bodices. Now it's the demand for sexual favors in exchange for continued employment. It's the after-hours meetings. It's the boys talk camaraderie. And it sets up the constant reminder that rape is always on the agenda. So Rebecca Walker, who coined the term third wave feminism, when she wrote, "I am not a post-feminism feminist, I am the third wave," she laid the groundwork for the fourth wave. So she was writing about the confirmation of Justice Thomas. I'm sure we all remember those hearings. And she said, "To me, the hearings were not about determining whether or not Clarence Thomas did in fact harass Anita Hill. They were about checking and redefining the extent of women's credibility and power. Thomas's confirmation, the ultimate rally of support for the male paradigm of harassment, sends a clear message to women: shut up. Even if you speak, we will not listen. So, sisters, we will speak out. We are also part of the fourth wave, the hashtag MeToo wave, the wave that will wash over the backlash against our strength and our power that is the current administration, the wave that will create our future. We know that the current administration is trying to make the future into the past as it tries to undo the gains of the past 8 decades, from Social Security and affordable health care to national parks, and also to making racism not only permitted but encouraged, from pulling out of the Paris Accords to banning travelers from majority Muslim countries. And now, once again, they take aim at our wombs. So reproductive freedom is not just the privacy to determine with our families and our healthcare providers if we are capable of carrying a specific pregnancy to term. It is a component of overall health. It is our right to access the medical technology to conceive safely when we are most ready to take on the biological, economic, and emotional challenges of giving birth and raising children, to protect our reproductive organs from invasive cancers, and to minimize the impact of menopause on our bodies safely and respectfully. We know that the drug dealers who will be locked up are not the manufacturers of fentanyl and morphine, but young men of color who have no incentive to stay in underfunded, understaffed schools, no avenues for employment, and who know that their chances of reaching 50 with a job, a partner, and a family are not good. When the death penalty for drug dealers gets tweeted out in New Hampshire, it is not for the Sackler family that owns the corporation that manufactures opioids. We know it will not be administered as punishment for systematically killing young addicts as the money rolls in. It is reserved for concertgoers, church attendees, high school students who have the bad luck to be in the line of fire as deranged haters take the readily available firearms marketed at gun shows and swap meets and turn the rhetoric of sanctimonious intolerance into hails of bullets. Our bodies are on the line. Our children are on the line. Our safety and our very way of life as free, secured, life-loving people is on the line. We are standard bearers to the slogan that a victory for one is a victory for all. And likewise, a challenge to one is a challenge to all.
And that was Hillary Crosby speaking at the Democratic Women's Club's Women's History Forum this past Saturday. And that was quite an interesting speech. It was basically just to reiterate modern feminist history and the state of affairs today. And in honor of her mention of the Bread and Roses strike, we're going to take a musical break to listen to the La Peña Community Chorus singing Bread and Roses.
Disclosures for the people. standing proud and tall. For the rising of the women means the rising of us all. No more slaves and no more masters. Thousands toil as one reposes, by a sharing of life's glory, bread and roses.
That was a beautiful rendition of Bread and Roses by La Peña Community Chorus from Berkeley, California. And you're listening to KKRN Community Radio, listener-supported completely by the community right here in Shasta County. I am Ellen Sugg, and my show that you're listening to right now is Community Works Radio, and today my guest is Cheryl McKinley. We have just finished giving a little bit of information about the Women's History Forum that the Democratic Women's Club held on Saturday. And now we're going to turn to another major issue that is going on today in our world, and that is the March for Our Lives movement, which was started by the students at the Douglas Stoneman High School in Parkland, and the amazing outpouring of their work, their organizing efforts this past Saturday with 800 events around the world called the March for Our Lives. And there was also an event right here in Reading, and that's what we're going to focus on right now. Cheryl and I were not part of the organizing of that, but we did hear about it, of course, and we both attended. It was right after the Women's History Forum. And it was so impressive and so exciting to see that students in right here in Shasta County are standing up. And I am going to play their speeches for you that they gave at the park, the amphitheater near the Sundial Bridge. Mm-hmm. And see what you think about them. I thought they were pretty great.
Mary Williams. I'm a student at Foothill High School of 18. I'm so happy to see all of you here. This is amazing. But before we start any of our speeches or any of our actual protesting, the first thing we want to do is have a quick memorial for all of the 17 victims of the Parkland shooting. So if you have those candles, go ahead and light them up. And I'm just going to talk for a little bit while we all think and honor the victims of the shooting and remember them for everything.
Okay.
Aaron Feiss was the football coach at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. He used his body to shield students from the shooter, and he died a hero. Christopher Hickson was the athletic director of the school. He was a father of two. Scott Beagle was the geography teacher at the school. He died trying to lock the door to protect his students, and he saved multiple lives in doing so. Alyssa Alhadef was a soccer player. She was 14 years old. Luke Hoyer was 15 years old. He loved basketball, and he was remembered by his aunt as smiling all the time and enjoyed life. Jamie Guttenberg was a freshman at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. She was an amazingly talented dancer who was remembered with a great sense of humor. Joaquin Oliver was 17 years old, and he had recently become a U.S. citizen. Gina Montalto was a freshman. She was a part of the Winter Color Guard squad, and she was remembered by her mother as a smart, loving, caring, and strong girl. Helena Ramsey had a huge motivation towards her academics and was a smart, kind-hearted, and thoughtful person. Meadow Pollock was looking forward to her senior prom and had plans to attend Lynn University in the fall. Martin Duque was described by a friend as one of the nicest people he knew, and he was 14 years old. Kara Loughran was 14. She was an excellent student, and she loved the beach. Peter Wang was seen holding the door open so that other students could get out. He wore his ROTC uniform to school. He was 15 years old. Elena Petty was 14. After Hurricane Irma, she helped people clean up and rebuild. Alexander Schachter was 14 years old. He played trombone and baritone, and his family has set up a scholarship fund so that others can experience the joys of music like he did. Carmen Shentrup was named as a National Scholarship Program semifinalist last September, and she was praised for her intelligence. And Nicholas DeWarrett was 17 years old. He was committed to swim for the University of Indianapolis, and today is his birthday. Midterm elections are on November 6th. Don't ever let this happen again. Thank you.
Just in case you're just tuning in, we are listening to a recorded version of the speeches given by Reading students from UPrep and Foothill on Saturday at the March for Our Lives event.
But I'm 17 years old and a senior in high school, and I wanted to share something with you that I learned in my psychology class about Pandora's box. So I'm not a historian or a mythology person, so I'm just going to give you a basic rundown of it. But basically, with Pandora's box, Zeus sent Pandora down to Earth with a box, and she had no idea what was inside of it, and she wasn't supposed to open it, but she opened it. And inside of the box was plague, famine, and all evil, and it was just set out onto the world. But in this box, there was one good thing, and that was hope. Hope can do a lot of things. If it wasn't for hope, I don't think any of us would be here for this march, let alone this march wouldn't be set up. But hope is not enough. We need to take our hope and turn it into initiative. We need to take our hope and turn it into registering to vote. We need to take our hope and put it towards making America safe. We need to make sure that everyone has education and they feel safe while receiving it. We need to make our communities safe and keep our generations safe. We need to take this hope and turn it into talking to our legislators. Take this hope and turn it into making a change. After this march, it does not end. After this march, we need to keep fighting and keep working. This generation is not the last generation. There are more to come. And I don't want anyone else to know the fear and the stress that I have when I'm at school. I am constantly looking around the room and trying to figure out how I'm going to get out if an intruder comes, or how long do I think the medics are going to get there in case I am shot. No one else deserves to feel the stress. I want to be safe, and I want you all to be safe. So I hope that we all can take our hope and turn it into change, because it does not end here. And I want to thank you all for coming out today, because in my head, when I pictured speaking in front of all of you, I thought there was going to be a lot of people, but I had no idea how moving that this was going to be or how many of you were going to be here. So I want to thank you. Thank you for coming out. Thank you for using your voices and for standing with us. Thank you.
These are speeches from the students of Redding, California on March for Our Lives, March 24th. Up comes the next speaker.
Hi, guys. My name is Zach Jackson. I'm a senior at UPrep. I want to thank you all for showing up today to show your support, especially the adults. You are not only on the right side of history, but your support for a student-led movement not only reflects your respect for this generation and the youth, but your optimism towards the future. Before I elaborate on our legislative demands towards gun control and what is wrong with our gun legislation and our rights to the First and Second Amendments, I want to make something very clear. The students speaking tonight are just that. We're students. We are kids. Kids who are not politically affiliated. Kids who are not getting paid for speaking here. Kids who gain nothing from being up here right now. We are your kids. Kids who should feel safe in school. A place where they are required to go to every day. Kids who rely on adults to keep us safe. Kids who are now, more than ever, not only feeling unsafe, but outright threatened, both directly and indirectly, by those of you who are supposed to protect us. As soon as we step up here and argue political and legislative change, which we feel is absolutely necessary for our safety and well-being, it seems as though many adults no longer see us as kids. We are now political opponents, enemies, and are attacked and threatened as such. The Parkland students, students who have faced unspeakable tragedy when they were locked in their classrooms and forced to listen and watch their fellow students and teachers mowed down by an AR-15 assault rifle. These same students are receiving death threats, racist and homophobic harassment, and have to meet in an undisclosed location to ensure they aren't in danger. They have to make sure their arguments for their lives and safety are watertight, or else grown men in suits and earpieces will tear them down any way they can and discredit them as stupid, ignorant teenagers who have no right speaking out about politics. We are taught that children are the future, but for some reason cannot be the present. We have a voice, but yours will always interrupt. We are important, just not as much as your guns. You preach individuality, but force conformity. See, something I have told our student committee from the beginning is, make sure you know twice as much as your opponent. Always be one step ahead. Luckily, our opponents don't seem to be too prepared, so this has been relatively easy. Our opponents, those who lobby guns and claim that we are anti-firearms, are quick to oversimplify. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. Yeah, with guns. People will always kill people. This is a grim fact of human nature. But they will only be able to kill over 50 individuals at one time from the safety of a hotel room window with the help of a bump stock assault weapon. You can't do that with a knife or even a bomb. Why ban guns? Who is? Who's banning guns? Not us. We know the difference between defense weapons and assault weapons. Guns meant to protect and guns meant to slaughter. Assault weapons. Weapons ranging from certain semi-automatic to automatic with the help of a bump stock are not equivalent to the guns you use for pheasant hunting or keep in your purse when you work the midnight shift and have a long walk to the parking garage. These guns are designed for the military. They are not designed for the public. Armed teachers require students to wear clear backpacks. Up security at schools. Make teachers lock their doors during the day. More security is not the issue. Do not put a Band-Aid on a broken bone. Students and teachers can barely pay for paper. Earlier this year, they were protesting low wages and lack of health care that the government could not provide for them. Now they suddenly have money, but it won't pay for their medical bills. It pays for their right to shoot on sight. That is not a solution. Teachers shouldn't have to make that decision. You can't take away the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment, before even guaranteeing the right to bear arms, guarantees a well-regulated militia to ensure the security and safety of the state. In the United States, there are 88 owned firearms to every 100 citizens. In Switzerland, with the next highest ratio, it is 45 to 100. That is not well-regulated here. Therefore, to exercise our Second Amendment, let's do some actual regulation. A ban on bump stocks and high-capacity cartridges. Bump stocks operate in such a way that turns semi-automatic weapons, a gun that fires every time the trigger is pulled, to an automatic weapon, which can continuously fire as long as the trigger is held down. High-capacity cartridges, which have more than 10 to 20 rounds, were used both in the Sandy Hook and Parkland shootings and reduced the amount of times a shooter needs to reload. These tools are weapons of war and should not be allowed for the public. For Global funding towards mental health care is a must. There is a stigma in our society that those suffering from depression, from bipolar disorder, or other mental illnesses are dangerous. And this stigma keeps those suffering from seeking treatment. Funding will not only improve quality of treatment, but encourage the destigmatization and thus increase reporting and access to health care. Yeah. Bullying. It's not the issue. If bullying was a cause for school shootings, we would see gay shooters. We would see trans shooters. We would see shooters who are people of color. We would see women shooters. These shooters are not bullied. They are entitled. Adam Lanza, who on December 14th, 2012, shot and killed 28 elementary schoolers and staff, was seeing two specialists at the time. He was seeking treatment. This issue is not purely mental health, and that is obvious. The issue is that he had access to weapons of war and used them to slaughter innocent children. This issue is not new. This is an issue that black students, brown students, students in poverty, students in low-income neighborhoods have seen for years, decades. But for some reason, this issue has only gotten attention when it occurs in white suburban neighborhoods. This movement is not a white suburban movement. This is a movement for students, by students. Students of all colors, students of all races, all backgrounds, all ethnicities, all sexual orientations, all gender and gender identity. This is for you. We demand a ban on assault weapons. Because it is proven to work. In 1994, the Public Safety and Recreational Firearms Use Protection Act, a subsection of the Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act of 1994, which was proposed by Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, commenced a decade, 1994 to 2004, the year it expired, in which 15 mass shootings occurred in the U.S. From June 2016 to November 2017, 555 mass shootings occurred in 511 days. Since 2004, this act has been proposed twice to be reiterated, but it has not yet passed again. You all see the issue. And if you didn't see it before, I have laid it out for you. We can march. We can rally. We can give all the angry speeches we want. But none of this matters if you do not register to vote and vote for the differences you want to see. Vote! Don't allow others to decide the world you live in. Vote! Vote for progress. Vote for safety. Vote for our lives. And most of all, vote out those who put guns before any of those. Vote them out. Because it does not matter what side of the political spectrum you fall under, whether you are red, blue, liberal, conservative, this is not a political issue. This is a morals issue. This is life or death. We choose life. Not one more. Thank you.
Just want to break in here to let you know that you're listening to KKRN Community Radio, listener-supported radio right here in Shasta County. This is Community Works Radio, a local program. Today, my guest is Cheryl McKinley, and we're listening to the speeches that were given by the students of Reading at the March for Our Lives event on this past Saturday. Now, back to the last speech.
16 years old, and I am up here demanding my right to not feel threatened at a school. I can't even drive yet. And yet I have to stand up here and speak in front of all of you so some people up on the hill in their suits can finally do something. What I want to start off saying is that we are not fighting one side against another. This is not Republicans versus Democrats. This is not anti-guns versus pro-guns. This is the development of a solution for the problem that has been slaughtering innocent Americans for too long. We will no longer watch silently as the environments where knowledge should prosper are rapidly being shrouded in fear. There is a cruel cycle that has shown itself time and time again in our country. A mass shooting occurs and people die. Thoughts and prayers are sent out. We are told not to politicize the tragedy as our concerns are hushed. The pain of the moment fades away as we forget. Things stay the same and nothing changes until now. Today, things change. Today, we march with a purpose. Today, we march for those who no longer can. Today, we break the cycle. To every lawmaker who hesitates to take action, I ask one question. How many children have to die before you do something about it? Enact change or step down. We are an entire generation with the power to do something about it. With every vote, every step we take, every voice we use, we come closer to a solution. An end to all of this madness. Yeah. Our solution is not complicated. The only legitimate purposes for guns in civilian life are hunting and self-defense. Bump stocks and large capacity magazines are not necessary for either.
Yeah.
If you want to pin the blame on mental illness, then let's help that too. Let's increase funding for treatment for mental illness. Not just kick them out on the street, not criminalize them, not stigmatize them. They wanted to solve the problem of mass shootings with blaming mental illness. And yet they couldn't manage to scrounge together any funding for it. They couldn't pass any legislation for it. But as soon as they come up with the idea, let's use more guns to fight the problem, suddenly they have the money to put more guns in classrooms. Today, millions of people march at over 800 marches across the globe. There are supporters just like us all over the world. There are marches in all 50 states and 6 of the continents. Our cry will be heard. Legislators want to put more guns in classrooms. That is only admitting defeat and accepting that America's children will always be under threat as they sit in a classroom. We will not accept this. Let's not give up before we've even tried. We haven't tried anything yet to fix this, and yet they're already willing to accept that we can't stop it. School shootings should never be accepted. This is not normal. Children dying is not normal. If there's something we can try, then let's try. Let's do everything we can. Let's get all the plans we can and try them. Because there are children dying every day. We can't let this continue. Today is a day that will go down in history. And we are all a part of it. Future generations, as they sit in their history class, they won't be fearing for their lives. They'll be celebrating their ancestors who helped protect them. Let's not let this violence continue. Every single person here, every single person on this planet has a voice. Let's let those voices be heard. Register to vote. Go out and actually vote. Make a difference. If you can come all the way here and rally with us, then you can drive to a voting station and vote with us. Our legislators don't believe in us because we're just kids. Did I mention this is in all 50 states and in 6 continents? Just us kids are making a difference. We're making a wave throughout the entire world that will be heard. So now we're gonna march. So every single legislator out there in their suits, in their offices on Capitol Hill can see us. See us on their televisions and see that we are crying for help. And they're gonna answer it. And if they don't answer it, then we'll vote them out. Let's march, everybody. We're going to take down this sign, and we're going to walk through Reading so people can see that we want change.
Yeah! Okay, folks, you've just been listening to the students of Reading, California, speaking at their rally on March for Our Lives this past Saturday. And you're listening to KKRN Community Radio, Community Works Radio, a local program that I, Ellen Sugg, am hosting. And today my guest is Cheryl McKinley. And we are I'm going to turn the mic over to Cheryl now. We ended up spending most of our show playing the speeches from the rally on Saturday and from the Women's History Forum on Saturday also. But there's a few things that Cheryl would like to share with us about what she's doing in Reading and ways that people can get involved. So take it away, Cheryl.
Okay. Well, thanks, Ellen. Well, one of the things just in reacting to what we just heard Matthew McConnell say and all those people at the rally, Ellen and I included, was vote them out. So in order to have any change happen in our local government, in our state government, and international government, we need everybody to turn out to vote. We had very, very poor turnout into the 2016 election, and including a lot of Democrats who were registered to vote and just didn't bother to turn out and actually vote in the 2016 election. So I'm a member of the Democratic Central Committee as secretary. I'm a member of, and I'm also chair of the PAGE, which is Political Action Grassroots Engagement Group. And I'm also co-chair of the Democratic Women's Club, and both groups are working actively to get out to speak to our Democrats in Shasta County. So we'll be coming around and knocking on people's doors and asking you to get involved, get engaged, make sure you pay attention to what's going on. We'll be giving you information about some of the candidates that we'll be hoping you'll choose to vote for. And mostly just asking people to make sure you vote in the primary in June 6th and, of course, in the midterms in November. So but what we're looking for is people who, if you want to get involved, one of the things we're looking for is some people to help us volunteer to be a precinct captain, which or even just somebody who will help and go knock on doors in your neighborhood and talk to people who try and get them to, you know, talk to local Democrats, encourage them to get involved and to pay attention and do everything they can. If you want to get involved with that, you can contact us through our website, which is democratsofshastacounty.org. The email is dccofshastacounty@gmail.com. So, again, please, we need some help with this. A couple other things that we have happening. I would like to speak to the fact that we have right here on the KKRN website, also on the Democrats of Shasta County progressivecalendar.org website is the progressive calendar. So if you're curious about things that you can want to get involved in or turn out for, check that calendar, because there's a couple of us that are trying to keep everything that happens locally of a progressive nature on that calendar. So if you want to know what's happening, just check that calendar. The next thing that's coming up is one of the things that we're also doing, in addition to walking neighborhoods, is we're also going to be sending postcards to voters. So if you live in an area, sort of an outlying area, like up here in Round Mountain or Burney or some of the places where we're probably not likely to get people out knocking on doors, we'll hopefully you'll be getting some postcards in the mail from us. We'll be writing postcards to reach out to almost as many Democrats as we can in the Shasta County area, and also to Green Party and No Party Preference people who tend to vote Democratic. So that's postcards to voters. So that's another opportunity to get involved. Let me know if you want to get involved with that. We've got a lot of people who will be writing postcards. Something else you can do if you're interested, if you want to hear from the candidates themselves, we'll be having a candidate forum on April 29th. The California Alliance for Retired Americans is sponsoring a candidate forum at the Senior Citizen Center on Benton at 1 o'clock. So that's something that if you're interested, you could take a look at. You'll be hearing from all the candidates for the Congressional District 1, which is Doug LaMalfa's position right now. And see, in addition to that, we have, of course, upcoming, there's the March for Science on April 14th, which will be happening at City Hall at 11 o'clock on the 14th, which is Saturday. And, of course, the following Saturday is the Watershed Whole Earth Festival, which will be pretty much going on all day.
Whole Earth and Watershed Festival.
Oh, other way around.
I'll jump in there to say that KKRN is also one of the sponsors there, and we will be there.
So those are all events that are coming up where there'll be actions, there'll be speeches, there'll be singing, there'll be all kinds of stuff going on in both of those upcoming events. If you want more information, you can check, like I said, democratsforshastacounty.org. You can go to the Shasta County Democrats Facebook page, the Democratic Women's Facebook page. And, of course, there's other Facebook pages you can check.
KKRN Facebook page sometimes has other events that we're attending. We'll certainly have, the Whole Earth and Watershed Festival. And the Progressive Community Calendar is on our webpage, kkrn.org.
And you can also check the Burneycrats page. They do a really good job of keeping people updated on local events, too. There's lots and lots of Facebook pages that have events coming up locally. So,
great. Thank you for all that information. That's good. Sure. That's wonderful. So I want to remind people you are listening to KKRN Community Radio 88.5 FM, and this is a listener-supported station. I want to, first of all, just take a minute to thank all the people that came to our big event on Sunday, March 25th, the Spring Music Showcase at Old City Hall. It was a fabulous event, and thank you so much to everybody who showed up. Thank you to the artist who performed from 3 to 6 p.m. at Old City Hall, and to Miracle Mile Records and Jonathan Foster, who collaborated with KKRN to put this event on. We also want to thank our generous sponsors who helped support the event: Shasta County Arts Council, Round Mountain Garden Supply, Dr. Doug Craig, Shasta Piping Society, and DJ Designs. So we couldn't have done it without everybody helping us, and it certainly wouldn't have been a good event if all of you hadn't come. And so we really appreciate it, and thank you for coming. And we are supported by listeners like you at KKRN, and we're brought to you by volunteers from the community. If you're interested in becoming a listener supporter, you can go to our website, KKRN, and click on the donate button, or you can mail a check to P.O. Box 188 Montgomery Creek, California. You can call 337-1101 to learn how to volunteer at KKRN Community Radio, how to have a program, or how to find out what's going on. Remember that KKRN programs stream live on our website. Remember that KKRN programming streams live on our website and on the KKRN mobile phone app. We have a Facebook page at KKRN 88.5, where you can like us and get news about your community radio. I want to thank you for listening to Community Works Radio on KKRN today. If you would like to talk about your community organization and work, please call me at our business line, 337-1101. Let's see, I think we do have time for one more short song before the end of today's show, and then I'll be back on one more time to say goodbye.
I think so. This is Buffalo Springfield, For What It's Worth, from 1967.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand in the street, singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly saying hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. To your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going now. Stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going now.
Hard to believe that Buffalo Springfield didn't write that this year. Beautiful song. So thank you for listening to KKRN and Community Works Radio. I hope you'll tune in the last Tuesday of each month to hear your neighbors tell us about the good work they are doing for the benefit of our community. Coming up next on KKRN is the Tom Hartman program until 6, and then Bradcast from 6 to 7, our newest daily talk show on KKRN. Until my next show, you can tune in at 4 p.m. to hear With Good Reason from Pacifica Radio. In the meantime, remember, it's gonna take us all.
We need the Buddhists and the Baptists, Quakers and Catholics too, the atheists and agnostics, Muslims and Jews. We need people of all nations, all colors and all creeds, to put an end to war now, put an end to greed. Gonna take us all to make a change, take us all to win the peace. Gonna take us all in the streets, gonna take us all. Gonna take us all. We need the immigrants and the unions, the greens and the gays, hip hoppers and the beboppers and the women for equal pay. Farm workers out in the sun, homeless out in the rain, seniors and the soccer moms. Humane. Gonna take us all to make a change, take us all to win the peace. Gonna take us all in the streets, gonna take us all.
gonna take us home.